What freshly signed wideout is going to have the biggest impact in fantasy? Who's the pass catcher to count on in Washington? And how did the receivers finish in the FFPC in 2016? Plus 2016 FFPC Dynasty 1250 number 9 and 750 number 19 champion Jason Helisick is here to answer your questions on Giants receivers, loading up at running backs in Dynasty, and being the bag holder on veteran players. We've got a great show for you. Dave Gerzak is here. I'm Eric Balkman. Stick around. Your high-stakes fantasy football hour starts now.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now listening to the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. It's the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for football analysis from the best fantasy players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak.
We run a brand with a structure, the number one commitment. It's all a joke between Monk and Drax and the Carpenter.
Thanks a lot, Rob. Greetings and salutations, all you Balkaholics and Gerzakananics. I am your slightly above average host, Eric Balkman. My co-host is the Dizzle, the patron saint of fantasy football, Dave Gerzak. And welcome in to the latest episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Coming up on tonight's show, should fantasy owners be avoiding Eagles receivers in 2017? Our expectations for former Eagle receiver DeSean Jackson's 2017 numbers and much more. Plus, last year's FFPC Dynasty 1250 number 9 and 750 number 19 champion Jason Helisick will join us to tell how he won two Dynasty titles last year, break down Terrell Pryor's role on his new team as well, plus a ton more. Shout out to the chat room right now. Feel free to post any questions you might have in there. If you want to connect with us on Twitter, at HSFFHour, at Eric Balkman, at David Gerzak is where to find us. You can post at our Facebook page, facebook.com/HSFFHour, if you want to give us a call. Chime in, talk with us, 347-426-3682. That's 347-GAMEOVER. HighStakesFantasyFootball@gmail.com is the inbox. If you have any questions for us, get those into us now. Our producer and mutual friend Rob and our audio engineer Bryce will get those questions to us later on in the show. We are looking at how the receivers finished in 2016, so I don't know how many we'll get to tonight, but there is one tweet, Dave, that I would like to get to that I'll make sure that we get to later on in the show. Hey, listen. You know, you're still on Twitter, at David Gerzak. You changed a lot of your email signatures to David A. Gerzak. Why have you not changed your Twitter handle yet to David A. Gerzak?
I think it is.
Is it David A. Gerzak? I thought it was just David Gerzak.
Well, you mean the whole
Yeah, name? The actual handle.
Like, you know, I've had that for a while, Balk.
Yeah, oh, you can't change it. You can't ruin the brand.
I have a lot of followers.
All right.
I'm in the four figures now.
Are you really? Let me see.
Yeah,
is that 12?
1,200, yeah.
God, I need
most
glasses.
Of these are like, you know, the quasi prostitutes who follow you and want you to follow back and hey, hit me up on Snapchat, winky face.
That's like, I don't know what you're talking
about. That's like
about.
700 of them.
I don't have any of those followers.
So there's like 500 probably legitimate people.
Yeah. Speaking of legitimate people, we have a ton to get to tonight, and a lot of stuff happened after the rundown was prepared by Rob and myself tonight. So we're going to try to go rapid fire as much as we can. We have Jason Helisick coming up in about, say, 11 minutes here. And I want to get to the as much free agency news as we possibly can.
We need to.
There's a lot to. Yeah, there's a lot to. Okay, so without further ado, let's get to it. The Eagles, by the way, RotoWorld Rob, responsible for tonight's rundown. Dynasty Orphans, Dynasty Startups, DE's Classics, and Superflex. You know where your home is for that. MyFFPC.com. Check it out. Leagues forming now. High Stakes Lowdown with Brian Holzen last night. Came out today, rotoviz.com/podcast. Another great episode. Kevin Williamson, FFPC Kevin Williamson, called it a must-listen podcast.
Nice.
So there you go. So check it out. If you can't settle for the advice of Kevin Williamson, one of the best high-stakes players there is, then you're doing it wrong. Eagles signed wide receiver Alshon Jeffery, formerly of the Chicago Bears, to a one-year $14 million contract, reported by Adam Schefter on Twitter.
By the way, that was $9.5 million with bonuses and incentives. I saw the contract. It's $9.5 million plus bonuses to get us.
Okay, so it's like four and a half million.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not really all that. It's not that great.
Okay. Reportedly, Alshon Jeffrey turned down a multi-year deal from Minnesota to accept the one-year deal from Philadelphia. He missed seven games due to an injury in 2015. In 2016, a four-game suspension. But if he's able to put up numbers with Carson Wentz in Philly this year, could give him a massive payday in 2018. Eagles obviously get a big-time wide receiver, one who they have needed, or which they have needed for a while. Jeffrey, his film always looks good, posted big numbers in both 2013 and 2014. He is 27 years old. Dave, you look at where you're going to be drafting Alshon Jeffrey next year, might be as high as a second-round pick now, landing in Philadelphia in the FFPC redraft.
Second-round pick, I don't think it's going to be.
I'm telling you, man.
Why?
Well, look at the quarterback he has.
Yes, second-year guy.
Look at the – who's awesome.
He's not exactly awesome.
Oh, he's fantastic. Look,
I really don't think he's that good.
Okay, well, you're also talking about a guy who played against some of the worst competition in, college football.
He fell off last year.
He hit the rookie wall. Everybody hits the rookie wall.
He's actually not. I don't think he's all that.
Hey,
good.
You don't like Carson Wentz?
No, I don't.
Okay, fine. Puppies, small children, Carson Wentz.
I like those two others.
Whatever. You can't like one of them and not the other. So he's in a division that is famous for shootouts.
Correct.
A wide target. For Wentz, and he's got other pieces around him to take pressure off, so he's not going to face a whole lot of double teams. I like this move for Jeffrey, and I think if you want to get him, you might have to take him in the late second.
I mean, if you have to, I think I'm passing in that.
Would you take him in the third?
I don't know. I mean, it depends on who else is there. Probably not.
You've never struck me as a big Alshon Jeffrey guy to begin with, though.
You know, I own him in a few dynasty leagues. It's funny, because I was looking through my dynasty teams, and I'm trying to purge him off the roster.
Right.
I got rid of him in one, and I still have him in a couple other ones. I don't really like Jeffrey that much. I mean, overall. And, like, lately, my problem with him is that he just keeps on doing things that cause him not to be doing anything for your team. I mean, whether it's the PEDs or the injuries or whatever it is, it just seems to me like there's just players that get things done consistently year after year, and he's just not one of them.
He has not been one of them.
And then to me, that $14 million contract, normally I would like that, but the fact that it's so incentive-laden and that he couldn't sign a long-term deal anywhere else means...
Well, he could have.
Well, supposedly.
Supposedly, you're right.
It seems to me, I mean, there was no NFL team that was thrown out there like a four-year, $70 million deal. I mean, look at what Kenny Stills got. I mean, I don't think he was getting Kenny Stills-type money.
Right.
Which, if he can't get that, that means that all these NFL GMs kind of are thinking along those same lines. Like, right. What have you done for me lately? And they think he just might not have it. So I'm kind of off him.
Well, if you are not on him, perhaps you will be on his new teammate because he will not cost as much. The Eagles also agreed to terms with wide receiver Torrey Smith, formerly of the Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers. 3 years, $15 million. This is Ian Rappaport's tweet. It's really a one-year deal with $5 million options in 2018 and 2019, only $500,000 guaranteed. A lot of people talked about, Dave, Torrey Smith coming back to Baltimore and maybe the Ravens letting Mike Wallace go. That did not happen. Torrey Smith, I don't know what he's going to be, if he's going to be the number two or the number three receiver there. And this is the other aspect we have to talk about is Torrey Smith and Alshon Jeffrey come to Philadelphia. What does that do for Jordan Matthews? What does that do for Zach Ertz? Guys that have been big parts of that passing offense the last couple of years. Are you just avoiding Eagles receivers in general because you don't know not only who's going to be good, who's going to be bad, but as far as a consistency goes, it could be a different guy every week in this offense?
Well, because of all the new pieces, there's a lot of variance. You have a second-year quarterback. You have all these different guys. So, yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense to just avoid it overall. Let somebody else take the risk.
But, I mean, this is exciting news when the Eagles sign these guys, but when you look behind the numbers, as you said, the incentives that are built into Jeffrey's contract – only $500,000 guaranteed in Torrey Smith's contract. These guys could be gone pretty quick.
The chat room they're gonging Corey Smith. This is like the gong show.
Yeah.
He's gone.
No,
Moving on. He sucks too much to be talked about.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Let's talk about the big news of the night. Brandon Cooks gets dealt to the New England Patriots for a first and a fourth. The Saints also sent a third round pick. Or no, it was a first and a third, and the Saints also sent a fourth round to New England as well. Cooks now gets into an offense that's elite, and not that he wasn't in one before. But let's talk about the New England side of this. Gronk, Cooks, Malcolm Mitchell, Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola, all these guys, but I mean, there's a lot of options there in this offense. Now, while we talked about avoiding Philadelphia, I don't think you necessarily want to avoid Patriots because you can, as long as Gronk's out there, he's going to be a big part of the offense.
You do have a Hall of Fame quarterback throwing to him, unlike a second year
shitbag like
Carson Wentz.
But that's
it's not beside the point. You're putting
a big emphasis on that. I'm putting the more.
You're missing the point.
My point is, I'm putting much more of an emphasis on the talent gap between Gronk and Cooks and Edelman, as opposed to Mitchell or Amendola or Hogan or whoever it is. Whereas the Eagles, I mean, who's separating out of those four? You know, to me, it's all roughly the same. So this is big for Cooks. He was going in the second round of FFPC drafts before. Does he also go in the second round here? Does he go higher? Is he a first round pick as the quote unquote lead receiver for New England?
I don't think he's a first round pick because you have Gronk and because you have Edelman, and there is still that uncertainty even with New England. I think he's like a second rounder type player. I actually think that he does get elevated by the New England, and I do think that they have to spread the wealth. But Brady, I think Cooks will get his. I think he'll at least hit his numbers from the prior year, like 80 for 1,100 and 8 touchdowns, I think is where he was in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
125 to 129 targets is what he's been getting the past couple of years. I think he actually maybe even gets a few more targets than that. And some of those deep balls he's going to get from Brady, I think he's going to have more success in New England.
New England gives up 2 draft picks, including a first-rounder for him. You know they have big plans for Cooks, so I expect a big year from him as well. The other bit of news that came on tonight, Martellus Bennett signs a 3-year, $21 million deal with the Green Bay Football Packers. Jared Cook, it sounds like, is bye-bye. He is going to be signing with somebody else. And I don't know if you saw this, but Aaron Rodgers, who is a big fan of bringing Jared Cook back, said he was a priority to bring back on the team after the Bennett signing was announced. Rodgers tweeted out a GIF, or a GIF, as it were, of him on the sidelines fist-bumping a coach and then raising his eyebrows and smiling a real giddy smile, and then it just said hashtag relax. So it seems like he's behind the Bennett signing. I'm sure Jared Cook feels like garbage now.
I'm sure Ted Thompson cares.
Well, I'm not saying that, but the fact that you're stud, maybe he was even consulted about this too. I don't even know. It was just weird because I was kind of thinking a couple of days ago, I'm like, if the Packers don't sign Cook, what about Bennett? I mean, I haven't heard any potential destinations really for Martellus Bennett that made any sense.
You're a smart fellow.
But I never said anything about it.
Even if you just thought it, I believe you. I believe you.
Good. I believe me too. So you look at Martellus Bennett in this Packers offense with Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb. Does he have a better 2017 than Cooks had in 2016? Is this?
Yes, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a much better football player.
He's not as athletic as Jared Cook.
Jared Cook's, honestly, he made the miracle catch everyone remembers.
Yeah.
But they forget about the 70 other routes that he ran wrong and other screw-ups.
Did he really screw up?
He's not that great of a player. He's just never been all that great. He's always been more hype than actual production. Has he ever been a tight end one in his career, ever?
Look it up. If he wasn't last year, I can't imagine that he was.
I don't think he's ever been a tight end one. I mean, Bennett was like tight end number 3 overall like 2 or 3 years ago, wasn't he?
Something like that. And I believe Bennett they're separated in age by a few months. They're both going to turn 30 this year. I think Bennett actually are. Oh, no, you know what? It's Martellus Bennett's birthday today. It's his 30th birthday today.
Lovely. Happy birthday.
So he Instagrammed himself wearing a Packers hat, and then put out a tweet of 140 cheese heads, like little cheese head emojis or whatever. He's excited. Top 5 tight end? Is that asking too much?
I think it is, because the Packers offense, they don't generally, as we've talked about way in the past, they don't throw to their tight ends that frequently. Even with Bennett being a good talent, I just don't think that I don't think they're going to rearrange the offense completely. Bennett's a good blocker, too. So, this is a good signing for the team overall. Just maybe not – I don't think he's going to get the targets that you need.
Played all 16 games last year. Played hurt through those 16 games, which is a good sign as well. He's got to be a top 10 tight end, though, right? I mean,
six to 10 is reasonable.
I mean, if he plays every game this season
– he could be one of those guys where you're talking about after the season, you're going to come back after that last year, and after this season, you're going to be like – I mean, regression to the mean with Bennett. I mean, he had 12 touchdowns. I mean, how did he get that many touchdowns with Rodgers on only like 50 catches?
Right.
That might be what he does.
Could be. We'll find out when we look at how the tight ends finish in 2017 next year.
Regression up to the mean.
Regression up to the mean. The Buccaneers have signed DeSean Jackson to a 3-year, $35 million contract. $20 million guaranteed. This according to Ian Rappaport on Twitter.
This guy's unbelievable.
DeSean Jackson was connected to a bunch of different NFL teams, especially in the NFC leading up to his eventual signing in Tampa. Jackson is going to be the deep threat for Jameis Winston. He should take a few or several of the double teams off of Mike Evans now. You look at what he's going to be doing in Tampa, again, a division that's famous for shootouts, a guy who's a big play type guy. Does he still wear like the Scarlet D for DE only player?
Yes.
Or does this change in Tampa?
I think it helps Jameis for sure. I think it helps Evans. But I agree that I think that you'd like someone who's more consistent on your team. I mean, I own him in a dynasty league. I hate starting him. I never ever have to start him.
Right.
I'm like, oh, this sucks. I'm going to feel the same way next this coming season.
Is he a top 25 receiver in 2017?
It's possible. I don't
think. Like maybe like a 30-40% chance of that happening.
I guess so. I don't know. I'm not my type of guy.
I'll tell you who is my type of guy. The 49ers have agreed to terms with Pierre Garçon on a 5-year, $47.5 million contract, $17 million guaranteed, according to Mike Garofalo on Twitter. The contract is actually really only, when you break it down again, a 2-year deal with options throughout the final 3 seasons of the deal. Garçon is 30 years old, so it's a lot of money. But remember, in 2013, caught 113 passes with Kyle Shanahan running things, which he will be doing again in San Francisco. Garçon, I'm gonna honk my horn here. Very excited to pick him up off the waiver heap in Blake Carrington Dynasty last year.
That's actually
and
nice.
Again, this looks very, very good this year. I think what I might do now is now that the heat is on Garçon, I'm gonna try to package him and another receiver, Martavis Bryant, and try to get something like really electric, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's gonna happen.
Like who, Josh Gordon?
No, not Josh Gordon. Pierre Garçon, though, you're on board with him.
Yeah, you know, he might actually be a kind of a value because people still don't like him that much.
And it's San Francisco.
Yeah.
And we don't know the quarterback there. I mean, there's so much unknown, but I don't want to say Garçon is like quarterback proof, but what he does for your team, it's not like if it was Tom Brady or Carson Wentz throwing to him, I think that it affects a player like him much less than it would like your ordinary wide receiver. Because of what he does, because of the routes he runs, because of how he accrues fantasy points.
Yeah,
so I'm not
terribly
concerned.
I'm concerned about, I mean, we have to find out who the quarterback is.
We do. Do you have any predictions on that?
No.
Brian Hoyer?
I mean, the great Mike Glennon got scooped up, so it's going to be rough now.
It's going to be interesting to see what San Francisco does because they signed Brian Hoyer in free agency. They also signed the venerable Matt Barkley. So I don't know if it's going to be a competition between Hoyer and Barkley.
Man.
Yeah.
It's like I'm going to a car lot and there's all this left here like,
Gremlins and Pintos.
20-year-old, yeah, like AMCs. Hey, there's a Hugo over there. It's
yeah.
Like, oh, my God.
Well, we have the Cadillac of guests coming up here right after the break. Jason Helisek, the 1250 number 9 and 750 number 19 FFPC Dynasty champ from 2016, joins us right after the break. You're listening to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. I'm Eric Balkman. He's Dave Gersak. This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. A whirlwind of deals in free agency over the last 48 hours, and we have a whirlwind of a show tonight. It's already been too busy. I'm talking too fast. Dave is pulling his hair out because of how frazzled he is. I would pull my hair out, but I don't have much left, so I'm going to keep it in. I'm Eric Balkman. He's Dave Gersak. This is the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Without further ado, let's bring in tonight's guest. He's been playing fantasy football for 25 years, been going to Las Vegas multiple times for the high-stakes drafts for the last 13 years as well. He won the FFPC 1250 number 7 in 2015, and he won the 750-19 league after one season, taking it over as an orphan team last year.
See? Orphans, baby.
That's right. He went undefeated and won the 1250 number 9 league last year as well.
Wow.
Please welcome to the show Mr. Jason Helisek. Jason, thanks for joining us tonight.
How you guys doing?
Jason, do we just have you on tonight, or were you able to get Frank on tonight as well?
I got Frank here. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to work out the phone system to where he could be on at the same time, so I could hand him the phone if you want to say hi or your question specific for him.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll flip back and forth between
sure.
questions, and I'll kind of give you guys a heads up. Listen, we're going to work through this together.
Nice.
It's all about massaging the ears of the listener, and we will have no problem doing that tonight. Jason, when you're not playing fantasy football, tell the listeners what you're doing for a living.
I'm a real estate broker. I own a real estate company and a home renovation company.
Home renovations?
Yeah. So were you one of the guys flipping properties before it became cool on TV?
Yeah, I've been doing that for quite a while, and then the TV shows are kind of interesting because they don't really show you the true numbers, you know, commissions and other factors, so it makes it look like, oh yeah, we bought this house for $100,000 and we put 50 in it and we sold it for $300,000. You know, they leave a lot of the details out, but yeah, I've been doing it before that became in vogue.
Nice.
Yeah, well, listen, details are overrated. I mean, we gloss over
true,
details on this show all the time, so it's not entertaining. Let's talk fantasy here, Jason.
Sure.
Go ahead, Dave. First question for Jason tonight.
Well, first of all, let me just say thank you for grabbing a few orphans again this year. You grabbed it looks like the chef team and another one, right?
Yep. I would highly.
And also,
recommend
let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you this before we go too far. Have you been playing FFPC since 2008?
Yeah, you know, I forgot to put that in the thing because I'm kind of bad with dates, but I actually, ironically, my co-manager on the 750 teams, Frank, was my co-manager the first time we did FFPC online in 2008. I verified it with him because I was like, was that the first year? And he said, yeah, and I remember that we won our division the second year in 2009. I can't remember the format really, but we were like one of the last playoff teams. We had to kind of like work our way through the 2-week gauntlet before we got to the main event.
Nice.
So yeah, I verified it with him too after I saw your email because I was like, oh yeah, that's right. But I couldn't remember the year I would have put that initially in my original email to you.
All right, we're trying to figure out all the people that have been playing since 2008. So we went back to 2008 and we saw your name. We actually saw Frank's name as well.
Yep.
And then, you know, we've been doing this because we want to do something for our 10-year veterans. And so anyway, I saw your name, and this is like this past week. And this isn't really the question, so you know I'm asking that.
No, that's okay. That is
anyway,
a question.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
All right, so back to this. Congrats on the 1250 number 9 title. You trade away your first-round rookie pick this year, but also acquired an extra second-rounder as well. Given that the league was a startup last season, did you feel you needed to wheel and deal future pieces to build a championship-level squad the first season?
I don't think that was something that I went into with a game plan. My co-manager on that particular league is Mark Perino. I'm not sure if you know who that is. I think you probably do. He's been around for a while.
Former guest of the show.
That's right. So
yep.
He was a little miffed when I told him that you guys asked for Frank to be on, and he was like, well, why did they ask for me to be on? I was on the undefeated team. I said, well, I don't know. You'll have to take that up with Dave or Eric. But
listen, here's the thing. I'm just going to say this right now. Mark is a fantastic human being, an incredibly good fantasy
He's
football player. We've heard from him already. We wanted to expose, just get all the Michigan dynasty geniuses on the show, as many as possible. So that's why Mark had his time in the sun earlier, and now you guys are shining tonight.
No, I understand. It's funny because I gave him a hard time about it because I listened to his thing after, and I said, huh, I don't remember my name coming up on any of your teams I'm partners with you on or any credit to any of your other partners. And he said, I said we in a couple of the things. And I'm like, oh, all right.
Oh, too funny.
But, yeah, back to your question, we didn't have a game plan going in as far as making a trade or anything. Immediately, once the league filled, I believe the message board, another team had posted that they were willing to trade, like, something in the fifth round. I can't remember if it was 507 or 508 for a future number one. And at the time, Mark was actually in Florida, so we were kind of just following it online. And he said, oh, man, you know, that's a pretty good value. We should do it. And then somebody did it. So we were like, oh, bummer, we missed out. But then another guy posted it a few days later that he was willing to move his. So I think we traded our number one next year for 509 in the startup, which turned out to be the number one this year. And then we picked up a second somehow in a trade where somebody wanted to bump. They wanted to jump in to get a particular guy, and we were sliding back. So I think they gave us the other later, whether it was a second or a third, I don't remember. But, yeah, we kind of just go with the flow. It wasn't necessarily, there was a lot of guys making moves to move up and accumulate early picks and then have a big gap in the middle, and it was interesting to see a bunch of the different strategies because there was a lot of guys moving all over the board, and that just kind of fell in our lap. So
well, on this team, Jason, you own a couple of big-time Washington offensive players in Jordan Reed and Kirk Cousins. We know Kirk Cousins now has signed his franchise tender, so he will be the Redskins quarterback in 2017, unless he's traded, which is certainly a possibility. It may not be a very, very big one, but the Redskins also lose DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon. They're getting Josh Doctson, hopefully healthy, and then they also signed Terrell Pryor today to a one-year deal. So given this sort of change in the offense and the offensive personnel wide receiver for Washington this year, how are you treating Jordan Reed, who could be the you know, bona fide number one pass catcher in Washington this year? How are you treating Kirk Cousins, who – you know, might be in San Francisco or somewhere else next year? How are you treating these guys on this team? Are you shopping them around? Are you not really actively looking to deal them right now? How are you treating those two guys?
Well, as far as Cousins goes, we haven't really – we kind of just – in this particular draft, we ended up with three quarterbacks, which we normally – isn't really our kind of what we would normally do, but there was a couple guys that were there, like Mariota was, you know, young dynasty guy, and he was there at a round where we didn't expect, so we were like, well, we'll take him and we'll figure it out, and we picked up Cousins. I prefer, personally, I would have preferred if he would have probably signed with the 49ers. I'm not really a super fan when they turn over high-producing offensive players, so, like, even though they replaced Garçon and DeSean with Terrell Pryor and, you know, Doctson stepping up and whatnot, it's still going to be a little bit of getting used to. So I think we would, you know, we're open to trading anybody on our team if it makes sense to make our team better. So Cousins, I mean, we would entertain it. Reed, we would entertain it, of course. But we specifically, when we were drafting this team, our kind of game plan was we laid it out with the two running backs early. And then if we could get Olsen and Reed, that would be ideal, which is what we ended up doing in the first five picks. We had the two running backs and two tight ends. So we're not actively shopping anybody right now, but if we were to get an offer that made sense, you know, we would certainly move either one of them.
Well, let me ask you this, Jason, following up with the Washington talk, if you had the opportunity, and this is sort of a loaded question, but for redraft leagues, non-dynasty, if you had the opportunity, the cost is all the same. You can have any one of these guys. Which is the Washington player you want to own this year? Is it Jordan Reed, Terrell Pryor, Josh Doctson, or Jameson Crowder? Who leads this team in fantasy receptions points?
I think Reed is still got to be the guy. I mean, there's obviously the injury concern, but I think he's kind of like the, you know, Cousins kind of go-to guy. So I would probably lean towards Reed, and then maybe second would be Crowder.
So let's make it tougher. Which one's the best draft value?
Instead of scoring those between points. Reed and Crowder?
Yeah, between all of them.
Oh, between all of them, okay.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I would think that you're probably going to have a lot of hype on both of those guys. So probably your best value, maybe as far as if you're looking to get somebody that could produce that's a lower pick, probably Doctson or Pryor would be my guess.
Yeah, interesting.
I'm not hip on ADP or any of that stuff now. I'm not doing any drafts currently, but I would guess that those two guys would probably be cheaper than Reed and Crowder.
It'll be interesting to see how the drafts will start with all the different moves now. What's going to happen?
Yeah, and I could see those guys just flip-flopping around all summer
sure.
long, too.
Yeah.
You know, be you know, like, I'm a Doctson guy, so I'm going to grab him here. This guy's a Pryor guy. This guy's a Crowder guy. So it could be crazy.
Right.
All right, so we are officially banning talk about Washington for the rest of the show. We talked about him already too much. Okay, so now you own nine running backs on this team right now.
I'm not agreeing to that.
Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, seven other losers.
Yep.
Guys who aren't as good as
those
two guys. Seven other players, they're not
kind
as good
of,
as those
but
guys.
Yeah.
So tell us why you're allocating so much space to one position when you've already got Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson. Tell us about this.
Well, I think, again, when we were in the draft, I believe that was at the time when I don't think it was official that Le'Veon Bell was getting suspended, but I think there was some kind of rumor floating around, and I think he came out and denied it. But in the previous year, we had D'Angelo on our 1250 number 7 team the previous year when Bell got hurt, and he stepped in and was, you know, RB1 for us. So we were kind of hell-bent on picking up D'Angelo once we took Bell. And we took Bell in the first round, I believe, and David Johnson was in the second round at the time when we drafted that team. So we definitely wanted that. And then throughout the draft, I think we were just trying to pick some depth, and I think like Matt Jones we had on our team from the get-go, and Ryan Matthews and stuff like that. And then I want to say during the season as we closed in on the playoff run, oh, we had Chris Johnson too, because I think at the time as well, probably the reason that David Johnson was in the second round was because there were some blurbs about, oh, they're going to split carries or he's not going to be a bell cow. So we took both of them. So we had the backups to both, and then as the playoff run came along, Johnson got hurt. I think we took Ellington then, and then we took Farrow, like I want to say one of the last ad drops of the year, kind of just as preventative, you know, so in case we were playing against somebody that needed a running back, we just had the space to pick it up, so we did. But it's not necessarily, I don't know that many of these guys are going to make our cut down. I think we picked up Sproles too throughout the year at some point when he got dropped. But it wasn't anything really strategic other than picking up the backups at the time, because it wasn't a guaranteed, like the way the media was playing it was like, oh, I don't know if David Johnson's going to be the bell cow and Le'Veon might get suspended. So that's really the only two guys we kind of targeted, and the other guys were kind of depth at the time.
Jason Helisick is our guest tonight here on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, 1250, 19, and 750 number, or 1250 number 9 and 750 number 19 champion from last year. Jason, one last question for you right now before we turn things over to your co-manager, Frank Anello. I want to talk to you about the Drew Brees and Larry Fitzgerald aspect of this championship team you have. At this point of their careers, given how good your squad is, obviously coming off a championship, have you decided that you're just going to keep these guys and ride them into retirement on your team? Or would you still actively shop these guys, given that, you know, this could be Fitz's last year, we don't know how many good years Brees has left, and try to get something for them, you know, before they fall off the proverbial cliff?
Well, again, I think we would entertain anything. We haven't actively shopped either guy. I don't know really what you would get. It seems like most of these dynasty leagues trading for a quarterback, especially this time of the year, you're not going to get much. You know, you might get, if you're not in the playoffs and you could flip Brees to a guy making a playoff run, you could probably do that, or even Fitzgerald. But I'm not sure what you would get for either one of them right now. But I briefly talked to Mark, my co-manager on this one too, and we were kind of chit-chatting about it, and he said same thing. He's like, well, you know, if we received an offer that was fair, we would consider it, but we haven't been pushing it out there or shopping it around, especially in that particular league. We have Brees, Mariota, and Cousins, so, I mean, we could certainly afford to trade them, but nobody's knocking our door down to get either one of them at the moment, so.
All right, Jason, the great stuff. We're going to come back to you in a little bit. But right now, if you could put Frank on for a second. Of course, Frank Anello, the co-manager of the 750 FFPC Dynasty number 19 league that Frank and Jason took down last year. It'll be exciting to talk to
you. The brains of the operation.
The brains of the operation, yes. Frank, are you there? Right. It's good to have you on tonight, man.
Hello?
Yes, Frank. It's a pleasure to have an astute fantasy football player on tonight who is not named Mark Pereno, of course. And love that you're coming on tonight. I want to talk to you about this 750 number 19 league that you had won last year with Jason. DeSean Jackson is on that squad. He obviously, again, Dave, you're getting all ticked off. He is not a Washington football player.
You're right. Anymore. Okay.
Tampa Bay Buccaneer now.
Let me just interrupt real quick. This is the next like three or four shows. This is where I screw up with players on what team.
Yeah,
so this is this whole transition period.
We got to get
used to it. I'm going to screw a bunch of that up.
Okay, that's fine. Because you normally would always get it right.
Yeah, I mean, normally I know where Mike Glennon's play.
Frank, you look at DeSean Jackson. He's with Tampa Bay right now. We kind of talked about him at the top of the show. What are you expecting for his first year in Tampa this year as far as how high he can finish among receivers, as far as his numbers? Are you very bullish on him in Tampa, or are you a little down on him that he is leaving Washington for the Buccaneers?
No, I'm kind of bullish on him. Being the second wide receiver, playing opposite side to opposite side wide receiver on Tampa Bay.
Evans. Mike Evans.
Being opposite side to Evans, I think he can flourish just like how he did in Washington, be a 1,000-yard wide receiver with Jameis Winston.
And Frank, I would assume that, like, I mean, it's clear that you don't think his value is going down. Has his value gone up now that he's in Tampa? I mean, is it actually better for him this coming year to be catching passes opposite Evans and from Winston than, you know, opposite Garcon and catching him from Cousins?
Yeah, I think so. We'll see what happens, how it plays out. But I see Tampa Bay on a nice uptrend, moving up.
You know, Tampa wasn't that far. I mean, they were really close.
You like them. You like the team as a whole coming into last season.
I think they're making the playoffs this year. They might be the team that, you know, Atlanta struggles with. Or, you know, Atlanta.
Maybe.
Every year, the one team that's way up there drops down.
I was going to say, maybe what Atlanta did to Carolina last year,
right.
Tampa Bay does it to Atlanta this year.
Yep.
So that's something to think about, too. I want to – we're going to get to a break here in a little bit. But, Frank, let's talk, you know, the meat of Dynasty, and that's the rookie drafts. The Combine is – it's over. We saw a lot of great performances. We saw some not-so-great performances in Indianapolis this past weekend. As a guy that you are looking – that you and Jason are looking at potentially targeting on some of your Dynasty teams in these rookie drafts, is there a person who really caught your eye, caught your attention in Indianapolis that you said to Jason, like, whoa, we got to really look at this guy and see what we can do about acquiring him?
Well, it all depends. I mean, obviously you got your first four runners. I mean, you got Fournette, you got Cook. Those are no-brainers. I mean, those are guys, first two picks should go that way. Us being at number pick 12, no first-round pick, going into second round, I mean, whatever's available, that's what we're going to take. You can't really pick it what's going to be in the second round, you know, what players. But there's I got my eye on a couple players that I like in that category. I would say. Well, I was looking at Juju from USC. If he can fall down in the second round. And in those late picks, Foreman from Texas.
Deonta, whatever the hell his name is.
Yeah.
And,
Foreman, you know, let me just mention Foreman real quickly. He, you know, because he didn't run at the combine because he got dinged up or hurt or whatever it was.
Or because he's huge.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. He was 233.
He can be Blunt. He can be Blunt Jr.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's actually a good thing because he's a little bit under the radar right now, I think.
He is under the radar for sure, yeah.
Ahead, sorry, Frank.
And Frank, who is that? Who's the last guy you were going to mention?
I was going to say Ohio State running back, Clemens. I mean, Samuels.
Oh,
sorry. Samuels.
Curtis Samuel, sure, yeah.
Who's an all-purpose back. He played wide receiver. He can play running back. He can be a good third down back for a PPR.
Yeah, he's the type of guy that, you know, could step into a role no matter who drafts him. I think that, and for fantasy-wise, that makes him valuable as a potential, you know, top 25 running back right away. I want to talk rookie tight ends with you, Frank, but we have to get to a break. You're listening to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. Eric Balkman, Dave Gerzek with Jason Helisick, Frank Anello, the 1250 number 9 and 750 number 19 champions from last year. We're going to talk about rookie tight ends when we come back. HSFF Hour on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Frank Anello is our guest currently tonight that we're talking to. As we spoke with Jason Helisick, his co-manager in the 750 number 19 FFPC Dynasty League, which they won last year. Jason, of course, already talked to him about the 1250 number 9 that he won last year. We're talking with Frank Anello now on the High Stakes Fantasy Footballer, Eric Balkman, Dave Gerzek, about the rookie tight ends. Now, for so long, Frank, we've heard that rookie tight ends cannot be successful in the NFL. It takes them a year. We saw Hunter Henry kind of buck that trend a little bit this past year, and now we're talking about a historic tight end class that's coming into the NFL this year of the crop that we've seen so far at the Combine. We've read about them. We've seen the mock drafts. Is there any of them, and who does have the best chance to finish as a top 10 tight end right away in their rookie year as you look at these guys?
I would say O.J. Howard. It depends on what team he goes to.
I would say Howard's probably the only one that has a chance to be top 10.
So,
absolutely.
Okay. Do you have any – because, I mean, there's going to be – in the tight end premium format that the FFPC has, Howard is obviously going to be a slam dunk number one, or excuse me, a first round pick. Are there any other tight ends that that you see? I mean, how many tight ends do you see going in the rookie draft? Could we see as many as three in the first round, or is that getting crazy?
I think that's crazy. I mean, just one, and then you got Ingram, who's a move tight end. And then the kid from Clemson, I can't remember his name right now.
Oh, Jordan Leggett?
Yeah.
The thing is, I'm biased because I watched him torch Florida State, and it's weird because, like, I'll watch guys for Florida State do really well, and I'll kind of, like, poo-poo them a little bit, but the guys that always just run roughshod over Florida State, I always remember that. But, yeah, he's another guy, too. That I would look at being a potential difference maker as a rookie, at least for part of the season in 2017. But I think that as it gets closer to the draft and we figure out, where these guys are going to end up in the first round, it's going to be telling as far as dynasty rookie drafts go. Frank, listen, we have a couple of emails here, and I think I'm going to read. Okay, let's do this first one. Frank can answer the first one, and then we'll have Jason answer the second one here. Frank, the first one is from Kent in Beverly Hills, California. He writes, "Evening, guys. Now that Terrell Pryor is in Washington, Dave, ear muffet. Now that Terrell Pryor is in Washington, who do you view as the number one receiver there, him or Doxson? Thanks for the email, Kent. We look at obviously Jordan Reed, Jameson Crowder is also there, but." I'll add Crowder into the question. Who is the number one receiver between those three this year? Is it Pryor? Is it Doxson? Is it Crowder? Frank, which one is the number one that you see ending up on top?
I say Crowder. Crowder has been very productive the last 2 years coming in and playing in Washington. So I would have to say Crowder.
Crowder makes a lot of sense, too, because he does – he's like that PPR type guy that can just catch, 11, 12 balls and you don't even realize it after the game ends. Pryor, to me, is a guy that had a lot of targets last year and capitalized on it, but, maybe did not take advantage as well as another receiver would have, like Crowder in his situation. And then Doxson, who knows with that guy? I mean, he's got to get healthy. He's got to get on the field. And this coming year is really his rookie year, so it's tough to expect a whole lot from him this coming season. Frank, listen, it has been a pleasure talking to you. Congrats on that 750 number 19 league. I wish you best of luck going forward in that league as well as all your leagues, really. But thanks for coming on the show tonight. I'll have you hand the phone back to Jason, but we really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon, man.
Thanks for having me. I mean, it's awesome to play to talk about football at this time.
I totally agree.
And the fact that we can do it in March.
In March.
When all the other podcasts have gone bye-bye until summer, we're still sitting here talking dynasty football, which of course, Dave, as you know, the best version of fantasy football is dynasty.
Thanks for having me. I'll pass you over to
Thanks,
Jay
Frank.
Right now. Okay. Thank you.
All right,
thanks,
awesome. The other email that we got in tonight is actually addressed to Jason, so uh-oh. I will read this one here. This is from John in Piscataway, New Jersey. Congrats, Jason. Who is the G-men's receiver bust this year, Beckham, Marshall, or Shepard? Thank you. That is John in Piscataway, New Jersey. John, thanks for the email. It's interesting because now that Brandon Marshall is now with the Giants, you have a situation where Odell Beckham was going in the top half of the first round. You have Brandon Marshall climbing up draft boards, and Sterling Shepard was expected to make a jump from his rookie season into his sophomore year. So he was kind of crawling up draft boards this year as far as where he was selected last year. Dave, you mentioned this earlier when Marshall signed. It's going to be very difficult for all three of these guys to sustain fantasy production. So, Jason, which is the bust among those three? Is it Beckham, is it Marshall, or is it Shepard?
Well, unfortunately, I have Shepard in more than one league, and I think he's going to be the bust.
That is, I tend to agree with you there.
Is it just because, the fact that Marshall is the new guy, that this is the guy they went out and grabbed, this is the new reality of the Giants? Because it seems to me that you would expect more from a youthful receiver that they selected in, what was it, the second round last year. You'd expect him to take a step forward rather than Marshall, a guy who's kind of bounced around the league to be sort of like the number two guy there. Why are you down on Shepard? Is it just the fact that Marshall is taking away all his targets?
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem that I have is really if you – and we do have a team that's like this where we had to start Shepard as a third wideout or even a flex for a lot of the time, and he's just not consistently productive. You kind of get a little extra because he was scoring touchdowns, but I think that you're going to see Marshall take away a lot of the red zone looks from him, and you know nobody's going to get neither one of those guys are going to out-target Odell Beckham. So I think that, you know, any of Shepard's touchdowns, I mean, they could easily get cut in half, which, I mean, that's going to take a big chunk out of, you know, his scoring, I think. So I don't – I mean, he may still have the targets, but I think the touchdowns, which are sort of unsustainable anyway, I think a lot of them are going to go to Marshall.
So is that why this guy named Two-Packer keeps trying to offer Sterling Shepard to me in Dynasty League?
Yeah, it's weird that Two-Packer he has a habit of making trade offers with guys that seemingly the rest of the owners in your league are down on. But he actually
– he's talking him up.
It's a mistake.
He's been talking up Shepard like crazy lately.
Two-Packer the contrarian. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't.
All right. So this is one of our favorite questions, one
yep.
of my favorite
yeah.
questions. Give us a rookie that you think will be a dynasty bust. And this is actually kind of cool because you normally do it for redraft.
Right, but this is dynasty time.
Good job, Rob. A rookie you think will be a dynasty bust and another rookie that will end up having big value as a second or third round rookie pick. So here's I'm going to qualify this. The dynasty bust has to be like a top 10, top 12 rookie dynasty
okay, like
pick.
Like a first rounder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Great. All right, so there you go. Do with that question what you will, Jason.
So dynasty bust. Top 10 guy, it's kind of hard without seeing what teams they're going to land on because I think that impacts a lot of it, but I would say that somebody that I'm not really super high on would be Mike Williams. And
nice.
What was the second half? It was, somebody that's like a second or third round rookie that might have some production or something. Is that,
yeah.
I would say
yeah,
probably, yeah, let me think. I would say maybe how about Carlos Henderson probably would be a
yeah.
guy that seems to be getting a lot of attention. I was trying to think if there was anyone else that I could think of. That would probably be my guy, second or third round. But who knows? He may slide up there by the time it rolls around.
This is such a deep draft, Bulky.
Yeah, it is a deep draft. We haven't talked about Carlos Henderson hardly at all. I'm sure we will over
we've
the next month or so.
We've been talking about the Redskins mostly.
Well, no, but I mean not on this show,
right.
but just throughout like the as much as we've been talking Dynasty the last month or so on the show, we haven't talked about Carlos Henderson a lot. I do like him because I'm a fan of his. Every single thing I read about him or when I research him, I just like him more.
Yeah,
I have not
the,
really watched much of his stuff. Go ahead, you tell us.
No,
yeah, Jason,
I think
go
that's
ahead.
The same thing from what I've what I've heard and read and just. The blurbs here and there. I really, you know, this is still kind of the early part for me as far as any rookie research or anything like that. But what I've seen and heard, I watch a little highlight reel of him stuff. I mean, you know, from being relatively, I guess, unknown, what is he, Louisiana Tech or something, I think he's from. He's
right.
seems to be further down the list right now. I mean, who knows? Like we said, he may be in the top 12 by the time we draft. But, yeah, what I saw, I mean, he looked pretty good, I thought.
He definitely does. Josh Norris from RotoWorld actually has him as his number three receiver overall. So he
oh, wow.
really loves him. I
yeah,
don't know if
I
love I him that
so.
Much, but I'll tell you who I do love that much. I'll tell you who I do love that much, Dave. Jason Helisek.
He's just an asshole.
What a great guest tonight. What
oh,
a great interview.
So terrible.
Equally as much as I love Jason, I love Frank
and
Nello.
I mean you, Balky, not him.
Yes. We definitely realize that. Jason, thanks so much for coming on the show tonight. We really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to share some Dynasty insight. Congrats on the two big victories last year. I mean, it looks like those teams are loaded. You could go for a repeat in each of those leagues. We'll have to see what happens. But best of luck to you. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Jason Helisek and his co-manager, Frank Anello, joining the show tonight here on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, 1250 number 9, 750 number 19, league winners last year in the FFPC Dynasty Leagues. Have we given any thought, because we always name the main event leagues every year to, you know, something cool, you know, candies, movie characters, whatever. Why don't we do that for Dynasty?
You know why?
Is it too late now?
No, it's my job, right? Dynasty is like my my domain.
Right.
And that involves work. I don't want to do any work.
Well, I mean, I would help you on this. We can come up with something cool.
You know, okay, here's another reason.
Yeah.
These Dynasty guys are super particular. Like, for example, the 500 number 9 league today.
Yeah.
You want me to tell a quick story?
Yeah, I can tell a quick story.
Okay, there was a person in a 500 number 9.
Did you hear his names or no?
Probably not.
Okay.
On January 17th, he emailed me to sell his team. And he said, his team, I like this team. The guys are a little bit intense in the league, so I think I'm going to sell it. I'm like, all right, no problem. I list a team for sale. It sells. Fine. And meanwhile, this individual has since – he's been playing with us for a long time. Actually, mm-hmm. he's a veteran, 10-year veteran.
Yeah.
He's been picking up Dynasty teams here and there. He travels a lot. He's a business person.
Okay.
And it just so happened that a team in the 500 number 9 league, 45 days later, came up for sale, and he bought it. And he didn't – he's not clairvoyant. He wasn't aware – he didn't make some sort of – this wasn't a plan, right?
Right.
So he's like, this team looks cool. And he picked it up. He didn't even realize it was the same league he left.
Yeah.
But, oh, my God, these guys go crazy. Like, you shouldn't be able to sell your team and buy another team in the same league. Well, you know what? I agree. If they're for sale at the same time.
Right.
It was 45 days later.
Right.
The guy had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
statute of limitations had run out.
Pretty much, yeah. It's like, whatever. I decided maybe I don't think they're as intense as I thought. Well, they are.
Yeah.
So anyway, so he's going to leave the league again
because
the controversy.
Because he's forced out?
No. He's like, you know what? I don't want to have any controversy as well. And he doesn't really care.
Okay.
But that was something I had to deal with.
Right.
So if I had to name the 500 number 9 league, what if I called it the Cannonball Run League? It was named after movies.
Right.
Like, we don't like Cannonball Run. We want to name it. You know, the diehard league. I'm not going to deal with these guys.
But a lot of these guys
trying to come up with all of, with their own. They want their own choice of the league, and it doesn't fit with the theme. I don't like your theme. I don't like this.
Right.
They're very particular.
But a lot.
People.
But a lot
like,
of these
I
guys.
I love Dynasty people, but they're very particular.
But a lot of these guys also play main event, and nobody puts up a big stink about when those leagues and those leagues they change every year. Like the names change every single year.
Main event is more like this. People, they own their teams, but they don't own their teams, right? They draft them, and then that's like, this team sucks. But this, you guys, these guys are attached to these teams. They like these guys. They like the players they have.
Yeah.
So they don't want to be named, the Harry and the Henderson's league.
No, not only that, if we name the Dynasty Leagues like something cool, that would take away an idea for main event, which we have to name every single year. So we don't want to take away an option of,
And to be honest with you, Dynasty, there's like 100 leagues now, and actually now more than 100. So now we'd have to figure out something that's 100 plus leagues. And then people would be very unhappy, no matter what, seriously, no matter what it is. They'd be unhappy.
Well, you know what we could do?
I don't like that idea.
That we'd definitely have no limit of. We could just name these Dynasty Leagues. Don't name them, but just use numbers. Like 500 number 1, 500 number 2. 500 number 3.
We do that already.
Oh, look at me.
Perfect.
Walk into a room, problem solved.
Great idea.
High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. We're coming back with receivers. How did they finish in 2016? We'll tell you all about it. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. '16 is behind us. We're on to 2017. But before we can get to 2017 here on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour with Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, we have to look back. We have to see the error of our ways. We have to see the hits we made, the errors we made, everything that we did right and wrong. We're going to look at that. I failed to mention this. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I have two little more points about some of the stuff we talked about earlier.
How earlier?
A bit.
Like before the break?
The tight ends. First of all,
go ahead. Yeah.
So we're talking about tight ends.
Tight ends on the show next week. Are you sure you don't want to save it?
I'm just saying there might be like three tight ends drafted in the first round of the NFL this year.
Uh-huh.
And if that's the case, I mean, you have to consider the fact that there should be three FFPC rookie tight ends in the first round. Don't you think?
I mean, I would think, but I just heard from a Dynasty champion that that's crazy.
He didn't say it was crazy.
Believe his exact words were, I think that's crazy.
Maybe so. I want to listen to it again.
All right.
All right, the second thing is about Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
He's now played three NFL seasons. He is the sixth youngest player on the Patriots roster, having done that.
Wow.
And he is the...
That's an old-ass roster.
Most receiving yards by NFL receivers before their 24th birthday, Brandon Cooks is eighth ever of all time.
Holy, really?
Behind Randy Moss, Mike Evans, DeAndre Hopkins, Odell Beckham, David Steroids Boston, Larry Fitzgerald, and Hakeem Nicks.
Interesting.
So, and they just picked him up
for like, what was it? Was it like the 32nd pick in the draft?
32nd pick and third rounder.
So, and he got back a fourth.
And they got back fourth. Yeah.
Unbelievable. The Saints are so stupid.
Well, they're trying to fix that defense.
Hey, at least you got Mike Thomas.
That's right. And Willie Snead. And Kobe friggin' Fleener. Don't forget about him.
He's pretty amazing. But okay, back to your receivers and reviews.
All the time. Well, no. See, here's the thing I wanted to bring up, and I'm trying to find it. Damn it. Hold on. I can find it. There's a tweet that came in regarding you shortly before the show went on the air tonight.
Oh, yeah.
About Dynasty and about Dynasty trades. And I'm bringing it up here. If I can find it. Yeah, this is from @2packer on Twitter.
Great, this guy gets more airtime. Question, like a Redskin.
Question for the @HSFFHour. Why is the Dizzle dissing my trade offers of the Black Unicorn?
he
wants to know.
He offered me the 111 and the, what was it?
Do we want to expose him tonight?
Yeah, 111 and 205 and Martellus Bennett for Cooks. That was his improved offer. I'm going to pass. Thank you.
So wait. So he would be getting Cooks.
Yeah, we get the 111.
And you would get the 111, the 205, and Martellus
Bennett.
Actually,
it was a 112, sorry.
The 112, yeah. 205,
and
Martellus 30-year-old
tight end.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Well, I mean, turned 30 today.
Wayne doesn't even think he's going to be top tight end. He just put it in the chat earlier.
But he doesn't think Martellus Bennett's going to be the top Green Bay tight end?
No, he's top 10 tight end.
He doesn't think he's top 10. Okay. All right.
Receivers
That's interesting. Okay. All right. Receivers in review, Dave. Fire up the old Blake Carrington website, as we always like to do, and we talk about how the receivers finished each year, and all the positions, really. This week, we're on to receivers. We'll tackle tight ends next week, pun intended. You're going to be on the show next week, right?
excuse me, yes.
I believe that the 2 weeks after that, you're off, if I'm remembering correctly. did you get another trade offer?
Yes, I did.
All right, do you want to read it?
Sterling Shepard and Martellus Bennett for Brandon Cooks.
Sterling Shepard and Martellus Bennett.
The two guys you hate.
I mean, like,
there's a comment. Most people counter back on their trade offers. Dickweed, LOL.
Dickweed in all caps, by the way.
Yes, thank you.
Two words. I thought dickweed was one word. Apparently not.
But either, you know what, at least I respect the comment.
Yes. I respect that Antonio Brown was once again the number one receiver last year.
I do.
Fantastic.
Too.
You know what I respect more? Guess who was the number two receiver last year, Dave?
Was it Evans?
No, it wasn't. I'll give you a hint. He got a new teammate named Martellus Bennett today.
Jordy oh
Nelson,
goodness.
Number two receiver
Amazing.
Last year. And
Amazing.
I think if you go by points per game, he was still number – yeah, he's still number two by points per game.
So insane.
You know, we talk about this too. Jordy Nelson is probably not going to be able to repeat those stats. Yeah, not to bring it back to Martellus Bennett. But maybe Bennett's the beneficiary of Nelson regressing to the mean. You know what I mean?
I think Nelson will be just fine.
I think he'll be just fine. I don't think he's going to be the number two receiver next year.
I don't know, 306 fantasy points. I mean, I don't think he'll be the number two because, I mean, what are the odds of that?
Can you flip it to week 16? Because otherwise you and I are going to be talking different numbers, different stats.
My bad.
And that always confuses me. No surprises after that, really. Beckham and Evans at 3 and 4. Were you surprised to see T.Y. Hilton land at number 5? I don't know if it's the fact that he stayed healthy for all 16 games last year and played in all of them. But that surprised me that he was sort of like the popular pick at the – 2-3 turn,
right, yeah.
And here is the number
we talked
5.
About that a ton.
Because he was always the number 2-3 at Pros
yeah.
versus Joes.
Yeah.
He was always, whoever had the number 1 pick was getting T.Y. Hilton
yeah,
as well with their
much.
Next pick. So he finishes the number 5 receiver this past year. Do you see that continuing in 2017 with the minimal amount of the changes that the Colts have made on their offense? They trade Dwayne Allen away. That's only going to be good for T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to get another running back in there. You would think that would only stand to help him.
Plus, Dante Moncrief will continue to underperform.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Just like he always does.
Who's the? Oh, and they got Dorsett there, who hasn't really
He's
done
also
anything.
Been a bust.
Yeah. And
yeah,
I remember
they all suck.
Guys like David Hubbard, Nelson Sousa, they were super high on
those
Philip Dorsett
just,
last
those
year.
Those guys just run around a lot.
The deep threats?
Yeah, Dorsett. They just runs around a lot, and Moncrief runs around a lot, and every once in a while a pass will bounce off his hands.
It sounds like you're pretty bullish on T.Y. Hilton this year.
I am, actually. You know, I own Moncrief on one team. I really have to get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
He's still commanding a really high trade value. I mean, like, he's like a top 30 or 40 Dynasty asset.
Do you remember when coming into Dynasty last year, Dynasty rookie drafts, we were talking to a lot of people, and I got to tell you, at least 3 or 4 guys that we talked to said this, when they were looking at highlights of, and they watch all Ole Miss games for Dante Moncrief, They kept seeing, like, who is this other guy?
Yeah, Treadwell, right?
Who's this other guy that's just crushing? It was Laquon Treadwell.
Right, yeah.
And now look at him.
Anyways, he's a
Mississippi, Mississippi receiver is the new Wisconsin running back.
The next Magic Cord.
Right, yeah, exactly. He went to Tennessee. Tennessee receivers, man. There is just nothing that comes out of there for the NFL. The Patriots were just looking at Justin Hunter, by the way, too.
You're very collegeist.
Yeah, maybe I am.
You know, like sexist, racist. You're a collegeist. You apply what has happened in the past, like a 4-person sample size, and you become a, you know, Wisconsin running back could never be good because they
haven't. So far, I'm right.
Except for Melvin Gordon had one good year. He had one bad year, one good year.
Yes. So you're looking at I'm looking at a sample size of 4. You're looking at a sample size of 1. So there you go on that. Doug Baldwin, speaking of surprises, the number 6 receiver. I don't see him dropping off anytime as well. Remember how bad Seattle started off last year when Russell Wilson had that bad leg and he couldn't move around and he couldn't create? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he got healthy and Baldwin started crushing it again. I think he crushes it again this year.
You know, Baldwin's just a really, really good football player. He's not some elite
Stanford
guy.
Collegist.
He's a college guy. Hey, Stanford guys, they're smart. You know what? You don't have to be a collegist guy to know that.
Right, yeah. So I like Baldwin again this year. In fact, I could be wrong because it's blurring together, but I think I took Baldwin in one of the Kentucky dynasty startups. So I'm even – he's like 28, 29, which I – where did I read this today that – maybe it's RotoWorld. There's some article that receivers – there's a long study, big study that they did, and this is fairly deep, that they found receivers historically peak at age – take a guess.
29 or 30?
27 is when they peak.
That's a little – yeah. That's
but then they – oh, I know, it was a thing about DeSean Jackson. That's what it was. But then they don't drop off until – starting with age 31, typically. So
in the case of Calvin Johnson, they just leave the game.
Well, if you the reason that this was brought up was the fact that DeSean Jackson is still a burner at his age. When you can keep your speed up, that can prolong your quote unquote fantasy peak in the NFL. Calvin Johnson was never really a quote unquote burner. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was.
He was a super fast guy. I never really thought of him as a super fast guy. Was his 40 insane?
It was like, I think he's either a 4.35 or a 4.4.
All right, okay.
For his size, it was incredible.
Okay,
but
I guess for me, I never really thought it.
He got his
bread buttered by his speed.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
4.35.
That's very fast.
6'5",
yeah.
236. And he's over there checking out the Louvre in Paris probably right now.
Is that what he's doing?
I don't know.
He's traveling. Like,
Wasn't he
on Dancing with the Stars? Or he was going to be on Dancing with the Stars?
Like good for him. Good for him. Congratulations.
Yes. A guy who probably could have finished number 6 on this last list this year had he decided to come back, but he did not. Number 7, Brandon Cooks. We talked about him a lot.
So the guy that was 7th in the NFL, or in fantasy at least, in receiving, gets dealt for the 32nd overall
pick. Dave, you're looking at a sample size of 1 year.
I mean,
for the number 7 receiver.
I mean, he had almost the same stats as the previous year. Unbelievable. Anyway.
Moving on, Julio Jones, a little bit surprising that he was 8th. If you go by points per game, he ended up finishing 5th in the league. Remember, he missed 2 games towards the end of the season. What?
No, sorry, I just said that. No, with Julio, he typically, you know, he does what he does every few
years. Yes, we know. Julio's always hurt. You bring it up every single week on the show.
He misses in the time in the playoffs. Your team.
You know what we should do this year? We should put 5
Julio
on.
Julio, the fantasy letdown monster.
Yes. We should put 5 on who we think Sports Injury Predictor's number 1 player is going to be for 2017. I think
that would be a fun bet.
That would be really fun. I'd have to research it, so I wouldn't want to.
Our number 1 tight end, Jordan Reed. We can't look though. You have to promise not to look.
I wouldn't look. I don't even. Don't you have to have a membership to that?
No, Lenny from Draft Sharks bought it.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah,
I paid the $4.
Right.
Then Lenny from Draft Sharks bought it and made it free.
Which you already had a membership with Draft Sharks. Yeah.
And I already had a membership with Draft Sharks. I paid the $4. I complained to Lenny. He never gave me $4.
Yeah.
What a jerk.
Well, we know I want to be involved in that conversation in Vegas this year. Right after him, Larry Fitzgerald, number 9 fantasy receiver. He can be a top 10 receiver again in 2017 and then just ride off into the sunset. I bet I draft Fitz on a lot of teams this year.
Yeah.
He's continued to be undervalued.
Fitz is funny because he had that period of like 2 or 3 years with bad quarterback play and this and that. Everybody thought he dropped off completely. And then it's like, but he's like a renaissance man. He's back.
He was like 2 years ago. I brought this up on the show before. People were benching him for like Marquise Goodwin. in like week 16 because of how terrible he was. It was like the Gurley factor last year where like you had to bench Gurley because of how terrible he was.
Yeah, so like he had 1,400 yards in 2011, then 800 yards in 2012, then 954 in 2013 with 10 touchdowns. So like a decent enough year. 2014, 784 and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, that was bad.
And then 15 and 16 were both solid seasons.
Yeah.
Back to 146 to 151 targets. I mean, if you can't do anything on 150 targets, I mean, you got to do something.
You got problems. Number 10, Michael Crabtree. This is an interesting guy to talk about because a lot of people who hit on Crabtree and who drafted him late in 2016 ended up winning a lot of money because of him this past year. Now, he's still the second banana in Oakland to Amari Cooper. But Derek Carr is a young and up-and-coming. Who finished below him. But again, as far as targets go, I don't even know what their targets were last year. I mean, he might have had more targets.
I'll look it up real quick.
I don't think anybody thinks Crabtree is the number one receiver in Oakland. I think everybody thinks of Amari Cooper.
Wayne Ellis might think that.
Really? Or are you just saying that?
I'm just saying he might.
Is Wayne still in the chat? I'm on a different window right now. He is. I don't see him.
Well,
damn it.
Amari Cooper, 131 targets.
Okay.
Crabtree had 145, I think.
Okay, so he had more targets than him last year.
Crabtree
technically, okay. And he finished as the number one receiver for Oakland last year.
I think he'll be
year.
Undervalued again. I mean,
I do too.
There's no change really going on in Oakland. Is there other than Walford flying away or going away?
Well, yeah, it seems like Oakland really wants to improve at the tight end position, but I don't see any big – and they'll have a new starting running back, I'm sure, in 2017. You look at Michael Crabtree, though, how old is he? Is he like 27, 28 years old? I mean, he's not an old guy, I don't think. He came into the league, I don't know how many years ago, but I don't think he came in as an old receiver.
No, he came out a year early, I believe. He's 29 right now.
Oh, okay.
September 14th is his birthday.
So he will turn 30 this year. Right. But, I mean, it may not affect him in that. I mean, you can get a discount on him. You're going to get a discount on Fitz. You're going to get a discount on Crabtree this year. These are two guys that finished in the top 10 of fantasy receivers last year.
Again, you look at 146 targets, 145 targets, 2015, 2016. You're getting the opposite of what you're getting in some of these other situations.
Right.
You're getting consistency.
Yeah.
You're getting the same coordinator, the same quarterback who's only improving.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Crabtree's a great value.
I'm going to bring up baseball tonight because it is baseball season.
All right, please do.
Guy I actually talked to you a little bit about before the show, Carlos Correa, is the starting shortstop for the Houston Astros. And he was a highly touted prospect, baseball number one overall prospect, I believe, and came out in the second half of 2015, crushed it. And then he was a first-round fantasy pick in drafts in 2016 at like maybe a month and a half of production. Everybody was taking him in the first round.
Yeah.
People were jokingly saying on Twitter, oh, is Carlos Correa in the Hall of Fame yet? Blah, blah, blah. The reason I bring this up is because I feel like Michael Thomas is getting a lot of the same attention this year.
He's the Carlos Correa.
And it's only going to get bigger now that Brandon Cooks is out of the picture in New England. Michael Thomas finished as the number 11 receiver last year. On a points per game basis, I believe he was actually 8th, 9th. He actually was higher than Brandon Cooks on a points per game basis last year. Michael Thomas missed week 14. And he averaged 0.2 fantasy points per game more than Brandon Cooks last year. He was already a guy, Dave, that was going in the early to second round this year in FFPC satellites. Does he creep up into the illustrious first round now that Cooks is gone?
I mean, I don't think so, but it's possible.
Not a huge jump that
no,
he
I
has
know.
To make.
I will not take him there, but I mean, anyone else, hit more power to you.
Do you think that he's going to be a guy that you get on very many of your teams this year, or is it?
I can guarantee you that I will not draft him on a single team this year.
Why is that? You have to take him.
I think he'll be overvalued. When he came out, I thought he was a little bit overdrafted. I didn't really like him overall, and I still kind of subscribe to that theory. I don't think he's all that amazing of a player.
All right, not all that amazing, says the Dizzle.
Well, I mean, hey, I could be wrong. It's absolutely possible. You know, Drew Brees is a fantastic quarterback. So
he's his number one target.
He's going to get production no matter what. I mean, I think he'll be fine. But I think if you're talking about the end of the first round, I mean, that's pretty early.
Davante Adams finishes at 12th. Demaryius Thomas, 13th. Amari Cooper, 14th. Jarvis Landry right behind him at 15th. Surprisingly, to me at least, because I own him in Carrington, and I feel like I didn't play him enough to warrant the fact that he finished 16th overall. Emmanuel Sanders.
I was kind of on the Sanders bandwagon. You were hating Sanders.
I was. I was looking to deal.
I was kind of liking him.
I couldn't get an offer I liked. And he actually, I mean, Demaryius Thomas finished 13th, Emmanuel Sanders 16th. That's with the Trevor Siemian show.
I know, it's
running
amazing,
things.
Right?
Yeah.
Like Leroy's over there throwing passes to these guys.
And then you have those guys maybe getting passes from Paxton Lynch this year, maybe from Tony Romo. It's only going to make things better for both of them.
I have no idea what's going to happen, but yeah, I still like them as football players. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens.
What about fantasy football players?
I mean, we'll have to see who the quarterback is.
Okay. All right.
I can't really give you a – I mean, I have no idea.
Brian Holzen, I'll give this away on the high-stakes lowdown. He actually said he's been targeting Golden Tate in drafts this year, and I said to him, you know, in a time in fantasy where we're constantly looking from year to year, well, what's different? What's changed? How is the offense different? How is the personnel different? How is the coaching different? Sometimes we overlook stuff that is just sort of staying the same.
Right.
That offense in Detroit is sort of staying the same, and I think Golden Tate is still going to be a really good option in fantasy this year, and I think a lot of people are overlooking him for whatever reason.
Yeah, you know, Tate was interesting because he had that early week. Like
it was terrible. Like
four weeks or so where he was just god-awful. You couldn't start him anymore. And then he scored 31 points in week six where literally no one – was starting him unless you were the 11th place team in the league and you forgot to change your lineup.
Yeah.
Who cares? And all of a sudden Tate scores 31
points. Yeah.
But then, you know, he was very productive the rest of the way. So I think that you have to look at the rest of the way, and I agree with you.
You know, what's interesting is I'll bring up the Scott Fishbowl thing with Matt Schauff. He wanted Michael Thomas for like several rounds and I kept fighting him off. I'm like, no. And well, we ended up getting him.
You kind of were beating him off?
No. I was not.
Fighting him off. Right, sorry.
And we finally ended up getting him. It was great. It was a great pick by Matt Schauff. And then it came down to our fourth round pick, and I said, okay, who do you like here? And we were looking at Marvin Jones, Golden Tate, and Michael Floyd. And he was kind of like, well, it's Tate or Floyd. I'd probably lean Tate here. And I'm like, God, I don't want Golden Tate. He could be the number two. I don't want – But I was like, you know what? I've seen Michael Floyd disappoint me so much at the time. He was like, well, he's still on my Carrington team.
Plus, Gerzak hates Floyd.
Right. And I was like, all right, we'll go with Golden Tate. So those two picks, you know, ended up working very good out for us. Tyrell Williams, he's going to take a step back this coming year with Keenan Allen coming back to the San Diego Chargers.
For a couple of weeks.
Whatever. and then you have Travis Benjamin should be – you would think he'll be healthy all season. Tyrell Williams is really the – beneficiary of circumstance last year with both of those guys missing a lot of time. I don't expect him to be a top 25 receiver this year.
I kind of think he might be.
Top 25?
I kind of like him.
Oh, come on.
He's 6'4", 205.
You're assuming an Allen injury.
No, you know, I'm really not. I think he's actually carved out a role for himself. I think he might be all right.
Okay, let's put 5 on this somehow. I will give you odds.
All right,
yeah, that's how confident. All right, so what? So this is Tyrell Williams finishes a top 25 receiver.
Sure, give me 2-1. That's pretty cheap.
And then we'll just leave the Allen injury aspect out of it.
Yeah, $5. Yeah.
All right, and 10 for me.
Right.
So
I'm weighing 5 to win 10.
Right.
On Tyrell Williams, top 25 wide receiver.
I have Tyrell Williams not finishing in top 25. I got 10 on it. Couple minutes left in the show. Let's power through a few more of these receivers here. We left off at Tyrell Williams. Julian Edelman, there's an interesting conversation that was going on in the chat room where they were talking about Brandon Cooks tonight on the show. Wayne Ellis says that he thinks Julian Edelman is going to take a big step back with Brandon Cooks in the fold.
He said he spent 90 minutes crunching the data or whatever.
Data.
And so he said that once you factor in the Cooks targets, there's not many left for Edelman.
So does he think it's going to be the Cooks and Gronk show?
I don't really know. I didn't do an interview, but I think that I think that he thinks that those types of targets will go to Cooks. Cooks can make catches. Cooks isn't like DeSean Jackson where he just goes only up for bombs. He actually catches over the middle.
That's true. Moving on to Kenny Britt, the newest Cleveland Brown, top 20 receiver. Is he the number one now for the Cleveland Browns this year? I think he has to be with no Terrell Pryor. Oh, they have Corey Coleman, I guess, but
I like Coleman over Britt.
Okay.
I think he's much more talented.
I think he's more talented too, but well, whatever. we'll just leave it at that.
I'm just, you know, I didn't look at the numbers
for the Britt
contract.
I stick
to my guns. I think that Britt's not all that great. I think that Coleman's a talented, had an injury last year.
Terrell Pryor, you kind of off him now that he's in Washington and has to compete with targets with Jordan Reed and Jameson Crowder. I mean, we really haven't talked about him at all tonight.
Please
nor
kill me.
Right, we'll
I'm pulling
on.
My hair out.
We'll move on. Adam Thielen, no shot of finishing in the top 25 like he did last year. I actually finished ahead of Stephon Diggs. No, because he. I'll tell you what. Do you want to put five on that too? I don't see him having another season like he did last year. How many touchdowns did he have last year? We can get into that argument again that you love.
How many did he have?
I mean, touchdowns, Balky. Touchdowns are touchdowns. Yeah. You still catch them. They still count.
He had five, dude.
Oh, I thought he had more.
Oh man.
He played in every game too. You mean
no, I'm not gonna bet that with you because I still know.
He had a zero in week 15. I wonder how. Well, of course, he had a 44.6 in week 60, and I forgot about that. Against,
so literally no one started him in week 16
yeah,
because
probably
they're all
not.
Pissed off about the zero in
yeah,
week 15.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't have really any other comments here. Do you want to talk about Tyreek Hill to close things out? He finished at 26 last year.
Yeah, you know, I do want to talk about Tyreek Hill.
I can tell you, Matt Williamson from Dynasty Blueprint, used to be with Scouts ESPN,
yep.
Does not like Tyreek Hill.
You know what? That's great. I'm glad he doesn't like Tyreek Hill.
You're still on the Hill bandwagon.
Well, let's take a look at this. From weeks – okay, look, can we at least agree to this? Can we agree that Tyreek Hill, who was a fifth-round draft pick – the only reason he was a fifth-round draft pick was because he had domestic abuse trouble, all those issues.
I don't know if that was the only reason. He was
one
not,
of the reasons, right?
That was one of the reasons, yeah.
So he gets drafted by the Chiefs. A fifth-round pick, mind you.
Yes.
And he's not a starter. He's just kind of, you know, kick returner, punt returner, this or that. By week – it took him like 6 weeks to become involved in this offense. From
yeah.
week 7 to week 16, guess who's the number 7 wide receiver in all of fantasy sports?
Right.
Tyreek Hill.
In all of fantasy sports.
Okay, fantasy football. So, but, I mean, seriously, from week 7 to week 16, he was not involved weeks 1 to 6, really not that involved as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are you saying is it because Macklin was hurt?
He had one sub-double-digit performance from week 7 on.
Absolutely.
So
And since then... Fat Walrus, Andy Reid, is saying that he's going to increase Tyreek Hill's – he's going to make him much more active and much more involved in the offense. And he said he could double his plays on the field this year. What's not to like about Tyreek Hill? People love to hate on Tyreek Hill.
He also
– I love to love on Tyreek Hill.
One sub-double-digit performance from then on. He only had one 22-plus performance.
That's fine. Again, double the amount of plays on the field. The
okay.
guy runs a 4.25 40, 9.98 100. Fantastic talent. You've seen it on the field, folks. Pick up high Tyreek Hill. That's my sales pitch.
One of the detriments facing Tyreek Hill, playing for Andy Reid. Another detriment for Tyreek Hill, catching passes from Alex Smith. Which, again, I mean, you made the point. He was on the field for, you know, essentially half the snaps that he will be on the field for in 2017. The numbers have to go up. I'm sure they will. Will the draft value show itself for Tyreek Hill? That remains to be seen.
Where's he getting drafted right now? I bet it's super cheap.
Well, I think it's the fourth.
It's not that cheap, actually.
Are you looking it up right now? Because we're really up against it here.
I'll go ahead. You can just close it out. I'll figure it out.
All right, I'll tell you. I'll close it out, and maybe the listeners want to stick around for something afterwards. They might hear something. So that is going to do it for our show, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank Frank Canella. I want to thank Jason Helisek for coming on the show tonight. The 1250 number 9 and 750 number 19 champs this past year. Thanks to Dave Gerzak, the FFPC, Rob Bryson, of course. You pick up a Dynasty Orphan, people. They're just sitting there. Jason Helisek turned an orphan last year in a 1250 champ this year. It can be done. You could be on this show at this time next year when you pick up a Dynasty Orphan at myffpc.com.
Sure.
So check those out. Plenty of Superflex satellites going on as well as you know, your standard draft experts, both live and slow at myffpc.com. Scott Engel and the Fantasy Hall of Fame Hour is up next if you are listening to the Fantasy Sports Network. If not, it's been real and your weekend starts now.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com that was broadcast live and heard around the world. Eric and Dave will be back next week with more analysis, interviews, and advice from a guest much smarter than they are. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you again next week.
I gotta go because I got me a drop top, and if I hit the switch, I can make the ass drop. Had to stop at a red light, looking in my mirror, not a jacker.
What do you have for Tyreek Hill ADP?
404.
Oh, my God.
With his
Jesus.
You know, they say
would you take him there?
I'd consider it.
Oh, now, my God.
The best draft pick was a 1-1-2. Someone took me at the end of the first round.
Oh, God.
Source, fantasyfootballcalculator.com.
Yeah, I think the biggest shock tonight, Tyreek Hill's mother plays fantasy football.
Yeah, but you bet. Love it.